Good morning. Thank you all for being here today to share the Dharma. And happy Easter. One note about listening to a Teisho. It is fine to shift your position, but please do it unobtrusively. And be sure to keep the back straight and the head up in whatever position your legs take. Today we'll look at a koan from the Wu Men Guan. This is the first classical collection that we take up in our koan practice. It was compiled by Master Wu Men sometime in the early 13th century of the Common Era. Koans are mostly stories of the sayings and doings of the Zen masters of the Tang Dynasty in ancient China. The word koan comes from the Chinese term kun an, meaning a public case. It's a bit similar to a case in law that is presented for our examination. In each of the cases, the master speaks and acts with complete freedom, unconstrained by words, concepts, images, and all the stuff that weighs us down in our practice and in our lives. And it's only by seeing that stuff clearly and letting it go that we are able to make the leap of intuition into the master's meaning. Wu Men collected 48 of these cases and then added his own commentary and a verse to each one. Sometimes somebody likes to add up the number of cases in which a particular master appears, and usually Yun Men and Nan Chuan come out on top. But we sometimes forget that Master Wu Men appears in every single one of the cases of the Wu Men Guan, and his commentaries and verses can also be studied as koans. Wu Men Guan, case 43. The case reads, Master Shou Shan held up his staff before his assembly and said, You monks, if you call this a staff, you're entangled. If you don't call this a staff, you ignore the fact. Tell me, what do you call it? Wu Men's commentary. Call it a staff, you're entangled. Don't call it a staff, and you ignore the fact. You cannot talk, you cannot be silent. Now tell me, what is it? Speak quickly, speak quickly. And Wu Men's verse. Holding up the staff, he takes life, he gives life. Entangling and ignoring interweave. Buddhas and ancestors beg for their lives. Shoshan, whose Japanese name is Shuzan, was a Dharma successor of Feng Shui, that's Fuketsu in Japanese, and so a Dharma descendant of Lin Ji, or Rinzai. He lived in the 10th century of the Common Era, his dates being 925 to 993, right around the beginning of the Song Dynasty. This is one of those koans where the master does not wait for a monk or a visitor to ask a question. He just issues the challenge. He throws out the hook with the bait and waits to see who bites. Who will climb onto his hook? What will you say in response? If you call this a staff, you're entangled. If you don't call this a staff, you ignore the fact. Tell me, what do you call it? This koan directly addresses the dilemma we face in trying to bring our practice on the mat out into our lives, especially for those who have been practicing for a while. We may have caught at least a glimpse of the Absolute. We know that nothing has an abiding self, that to attach to names, forms, concepts, notions, imaginings, and all the rest of it is delusion. And yet we walk out of this temple, and there it all is. The noise, the job, the kids, the mortgage, the busted water heater, the full catastrophe. And we have to deal with all of it. When one is working on Mu, or any initial koan, one may look upon that Kensho experience, the initial insight, as the be-all, end-all of practice. To some extent, this is inevitable, as Wu Men emphasizes in his commentary on Mu. You must exhaust all your life energy on this one word, Mu. There is no easy way to get past the ego delusions of the separate self. It requires a supreme effort. And there is a kind of exhilaration in the high energy drive into Mu, which is heightened with every Doksan rush in Sesshin, the dropping away of body and mind. But if we attach to this kind of practice, it can become a crutch. And when we are past that first gate and into the subsequent koans and into our lives, the crutch isn't there anymore. Shouting Mu doesn't cut it any longer. Robert Aitken Roshi advises us to sit and quietly breathe Mu with no expectations, no demands. In this way, Mu becomes very similar to Shikantaza, just sitting. Just sitting. Just Mu. Shikan Mu, or maybe Mu Kantaza, they call it. This can be a very tough time. It is sometimes more difficult to stay with one's practice after one has had a degree of insight. You have seen the reality. You have experienced oneness. At a deep level, you know that there is no abiding self and that the 10,000 things make you up and nothing else. And yet there can be a lot of frustration. Dang, I've had Kensho. Why the hell aren't I enlightened? Why am I struggling with all these blankety-blank subsequent koans? And not just with the koans, but with my life. Why am I still acting like a jerk? Why do I still get angry? Why did I snap at that person over the phone? But then at the next sitting, or the next session, we become still again, quiet and empty. And it's wonderful. But then we fall back into all the old habits again and again, or at least that's what it seems like. We are caught between the Skilla of form and the Charybdis of emptiness. And as Dido Lori has pointed out, our practice for some time consists of bouncing back and forth between the two. The psychobabble term for this is cognitive dissonance. In the long run, one of two things ultimately has to happen. One possibility is that you keep working. You continue practice and training, working with the precepts, mindfulness training, more subsequent koans. And gradually, over the years, we bring it all together. Not that anything was ever really separate. Our lives in the world become more and more into accord with our realization on the mat. This is the practice of lifetimes. The ultimate expression of this is a deep equanimity. We are able to live in the world, but not of the world. We are firmly established in reality, no longer blown about by the capricious winds of greed, hatred, and ignorance. Wonderful indeed. The other possibility is that you give up, abandon practice. And therein lies a great tragedy. Consider the ox herding pictures. These are a series of 10 pictures that illustrate the process of practice and realization. The first of these pictures shows the herdsman, that's the practitioner, you and me, leaving home, setting out to search for the ox. In this case, the ox stands in for our true self, our Buddha nature. So the herdsman has made the decision to find out what's what, who am I, in the most fundamental sense. The second picture depicts finding the tracks of the ox. This is coming into contact with and pursuing the teaching and the practice. The third picture shows glimpsing the ox, kensho, the initial insight. But this is only the third picture. There are 7 more to go. And the next 2 pictures, catching the ox and taming the ox, depict the great struggle that goes on for years. Here the ox has changed roles and is now the habit forces of greed, hatred, and ignorance built up over countless eons. If I were George Lucas, I would call it the ego strikes back. We have to be patient with ourselves and with our practice, and above all, persistent. We have to learn to be okay with our practice as it is, whatever it is. We have to learn to be okay with who we are and with our lives, whatever they may be. And of course, nothing is ever the same from one move to the next, from one breath to the next, one moment to the next. Shoshan staff is never the same from one moment to the next. If you call this a staff, you're entangled. If you don't call this a staff, you ignore the fact. If you attach to the name or a mental picture of staff, you're engaged in a kind of spiritual taxidermy. You have stuffed it and mounted it on the wall. You are caught, stuck in words and concepts. If you don't call it a staff, you ignore the fact right in front of you. Zazen is the same. What are you doing right now? Call it Zazen, and you're entangled in some notion of Zen practice. Don't call it Zazen, and you ignore the very fact of your sitting. Case number 4 in the Shoyoroku, another koan collection. When the Buddha was walking with his disciples, he pointed to the ground with his hand and said, "Here would be a good place to build a sanctuary." Sakra Devendra, that's the god Indra, took a blade of grass, stuck it into the ground, and said, "The sanctuary is built." The Buddha smiled. Does a blade of grass suddenly become a temple? Could you do that with Shoshan staff? Case 48 in the Wumen Guan reads in part, Yunmen held up his fan and said, "This fan leaps up to the 33rd heaven and hits the nose of the deity. Give a carp of the eastern sea one blow and the rain comes down in torrents." Wow, What has Yun Men's fan become? Indra's blade of grass. Yun Men's fan. Shoshan's staff. How do you live your life with Shoshan's staff? How do you live your life as Shoshan's staff? What is it to be whole and complete? Can I be whole and complete if there is anything outside? There is only one thing that can be whole and complete. And that is Shoshan's staff. And what does that staff encompass? Wu Men's commentary. Call it a staff, you're entangled. Don't call it a staff, and you ignore the fact. You cannot talk, you cannot be silent. Now tell me, what is it? Speak quickly, speak quickly. Speak quickly. Master Wu Men goads us on. Speak quickly. Don't go checking your mind. Don't get caught up in worrying about plan B. This moment is all we have. Speak quickly with your words. Speak quickly with your silence. The problem with naming of anything is it freezes it in one place. I call it a flower. Eventually, the flower starts to wilt. Is it still a flower? The petals fall off. Is it still a flower? The seed pod swells and bursts. At what point is it no longer a flower? Can you point to that exact moment? And if it is no longer a flower, was it ever a flower to begin with? The illusion of something fixed and unchanging inevitably clashes with the change in the world, with the change that is the world, that is the fact of each of us. How do you grasp that staff directly? How can we live with all this change and impermanence? How can we live so all this change and impermanence becomes a non-issue? How does a great musician grasp his instrument? How does a surgeon grasp the scalpel? How does the electrician grasp a pair of pliers? Speak quickly. Wu Men's verse. Holding up the staff, he takes life, he gives life. Entangling and ignoring interweave. Buddhas and ancestors beg for their lives. Holding up the staff, he takes life, he gives life. It is in our practice that we hold up the staff. Even as beginners, we work to see clearly. And the only way we can do that is to give up our small, restricted life of the ego. We have to take life, our own life, our small life, and throw it away in order to gain life. Deshan, a brilliant scholar monk and an authority on the Diamond Sutra, traveled south to root out that nest of vipers called the Zen sect. On his way, he stopped to buy some refreshments from an old woman at a roadside tea stand. The old woman said, "Venerable monk, what are all those books you are carrying on your back?" Deshan said, "They are my notes and commentaries on the Diamond Sutra." The old woman said, "I hear the Diamond Sutra says, past mind cannot be grasped. Present mind cannot be grasped. Future mind cannot be grasped. Which mind does your reverence intend to refresh?" Deshan was caught, dumbfounded. The old woman had pulled his reality out from under him. Daishan then went on to Master Lung Tan, who, after a long talk, handed him a candle. And in that moment, he blew it out, leaving Daishan completely in the dark. Daishan was destroyed. Lung Tan took his life. Everything was gone. Not a cloud in the empty sky. So Daishan burned all his notes and commentaries on the Diamond Sutra. Some say that he was overdoing it, but I don't think so. It was necessary for him to free himself completely of all words and concepts, stuff he had been carrying his whole life, even as each of us must do. We must abandon all in order to gain all. Abandon life to discover life. And it takes time. And we do indeed return to the world of 10,000 things, but in a very different way. Entangling and ignoring interweave, Buddhas and ancestors beg for their lives. Interbeing is not just about all phenomena and interdependent origination. Relative and absolute are inextricably interwoven. There is no separation. Every day in Sesshin we recite, to attach to things is illusion. To encounter the absolute is not yet enlightenment. First, it is a staff. We are indeed caught up in the form, the name. Then it is no staff. Now we ignore the fact. That's okay, because then we go on. We go past form and emptiness. And at that point, what do you call it? That's the real question. Short passage from Dogen's extensive record. Huang Long held up his monk's staff and said, "What is this? If you call it the Dharma of the One Vehicle, your eyebrows will fall out from lying." Huang Long pounded his staff on the sitting platform and got down from his seat. Then Dogen held up his staff, pounded it once, and said, "What is this? If we call this the Dharma of the One Vehicle, there are no horns on the ox's head. If you do not call this the Dharma of the One Vehicle, there is a horn on the horse's head." Does this mean we can never use words and language? No, of course not. We must speak. We have to say something. The Buddha spoke. All the ancestral teachers spoke. If not, how could they have taught the Dharma? For myself, as one who comes from a family of voracious readers, I live and die by the printed word. Maybe I'm too dependent. Still, words are important. It's a matter of how you use them. Master Yun Men cited a scripture that says, "The sutras and magic spells, indeed all letters and words, are not at all in conflict with the true form." Then Yun Men held up his staff and asked, "What is this? If you say it is a staff, you go to hell. If it isn't a staff, what is it?" You cannot say yes, it is. You cannot say no, it isn't. Yet speak you must. If you do not truly see this staff, how can you call it a staff? If you truly see this staff, how dare you call it a staff? Be that as it may, if Shoshan or young men were to ask me, I might well say, Teacher, I call it a staff. Do you understand? Together with all beings, we realize the way.